Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Elvis, I am losing my throat for you, but you are listening to UsedWigsRadio.com. Wig out!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 51. Russ is back from Africa, Todd is back from the beach, and I'm back from absolutely nowhere. As we sit here in Russ Stark Studios, glued to the TV, watching the Olympics, having debates and strong opinions about sports we usually don't give a crap about. Guys, women's synchronized equestrian coming up.
Woo!
Is that really something?
Okay. Do you actually think there would be synchronized equestrian?
I don't know what
happened.
Well, why not?
It doesn't make it. Events are, you know?
There's synchronized diving, synchronized gymnastics, and stuff like that.
It doesn't make any less sense than any other event, though, really.
It doesn't. Do you know with the floor routine and gymnastics, now they have celebrity partners? I'm kidding. Okay. Also, guys, enough about the stupid Olympics. We have the lovely and talented Nicole Brewer from CBS3 Philadelphia with us. Nicole runs the What's Brewing section of the CBS3.com website and dishes on the latest and greatest in the Philly area. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. That's quite the introduction.
Well, you're quite welcome.
We also have with us the guy from Window Wizards. That's who's right. Downstairs putting a window in my house because this is the first time we've ever podcasted during the day.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's in daylight, right.
That's right.
And it's a little bit odd because I'm not drinking.
Right.
Well, actually, we did podcast at your house that one day.
During the day. Yeah. And I was
drinking.
That's true.
So this is the first podcast sans beer. Right. That's all. Yeah.
I believe CBS 3 will not allow us to drink on camera.
I think that's
true. I'm not drinking just
No, 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 no. She finished drinking like an hour ago.
Right. So when you hear the floor creaking, it is Nicole moving the camera. When you hear the hammering, it's Paco.
Now, Nicole, I'd like to say you're here just kind of doing a nice story on Newswigs Radio, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a hard-hitting expose on internet fraud, scams, and you're really going to blow our cover, correct?
It's actually the dark side of internet comedians. And
comedians.
I'm getting some good material. I was going to say that.
Well, there is much dark side to our podcast. I did mention in the beginning the Olympics. You know, Nicole, we don't do a lot of sports talk, mainly because we know nothing about sports. Correct, guys?
Correct.
Safe to say.
So I'm in good company.
Good company.
We talk about Ultimate Fighting from time to time and professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling, it's true. I mean, I like
sports. Really the only one who knows anything about those.
Yeah. But, you know, it's nonstop Olympics all the time, and it is kind of fun to kick back at the
end
of the
night. Do you have Olympic fever?
I do. I have women's 10mm pistol fever, which is strictly that. That's my favorite.
It's very specific.
Very specific.
It's acute.
Real?
Yes, it is.
What is that?
Air gun, air pistols. They just shoot.
And it's about accuracy?
No, it's about how many boar you can kill in one 12-minute round.
I have no idea if I'm being put on here or not.
Well, anyway, Russ, how about Michael Phelps? We all know Michael Phelps, yes. Right? Here's my little problem with they're saying he's the greatest Olympian because he's won like 13 gold medals. Here's my problem. What about the boxer who could be the greatest Olympian, but he can only participate in one category? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He is slotted in, I am 140-pound, whatever, bantamweight, and I can only win one gold.
Yeah, he can win one gold per Olympics, where Michael Phelps can be... Because they just have one swimming event. Why should there be so many different varieties?
And they're silly. They're just, you
unless
know...
There's like, unless they have to go and get a brick off the bottom of the pool or something.
Well,
you know?
there's the Marco Polo, which is really fun.
Yeah, or like a chicken fight. There should be like a chicken fight, and then that's it.
Well, you get the one where they're on each other's shoulders,
that's
right?
A chicken fight,
that's a chicken fight. Uh-huh. Well, that's good, but when you win a gold in that, it's a bit silly.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I just want to throw it out there, it's... The NBC, I'm all about CBS, not NBC, first of all. Let's let me get that out. Love CBS.
Yes.
But, thank you so much.
Oh, even Nicole's here, I forgot.
That's right.
But the NBC, you know, the reason they're over there is for advertising dollars, and it's, you know, to get their GE products in China. We all know that. But you cannot be any more U.S.-centric than they are. They'll do a story on the eighth best, you know, biathlete instead of the number one biathlete. Because he's not from America.
Yeah, but it's for the American TV audience, though.
Right, but don't you wish there was a TV station that actually broadcast like this great world view of.
It's called Al Jazeera.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay, and they do a night. Well, I would just like an alternative to the, you know, Bob Costas, you know, basically, and his new boyfriend Michael Phelps, 24-hour, you know, coverage. So
I wish they had more coverage on the new swimming suits.
Yes,
I've seen virtually nothing about that.
Russ? Don't we have another interview on this show as well that we're going to be playing?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Speaking of the Olympics, I last night met with Elvis.
Is he the number one Elvis impersonator slash where I don't know who
he is. He is the leading, I would say, Elvis interpreter.
Interpreter.
I think to call him an impersonator, and I say the same thing on the interview, is to sell him way short because it's a musical scrapbook. It's a collage of all different sounds from Depeche Mode to George Michael to, of course, Elvis Presley. It's pushed the song, you know, and sometimes he had six costume changes, and those songs are all kind of intermingled, intertwined, and he puts his own words on, and from the slant or angle of a Mexican immigrant. So he is the world's leading Mexican Elvis interpreter.
Does he live in this area?
He does not, but
he's here a lot.
Well, I believe he's from Los Angeles, but
is he putting my window in downstairs?
So you know, we have a restaurant here called Elvis, a very popular restaurant, and they actually had to strike some agreement with him for licensing, and he has a relationship with them as well. So my wife and I had a anniversary celebration last evening, and we figured year three was the Elvis as opposed to like the silver or the gold.
Oh, okay.
It was the Elvis anniversary, and we dined at Elvis. And then we spoke to Elvis, and then we rocked to Elvis.
That's really touching. Number three? Anniversary?
Yes, third year. Yep.
Very nice.
Very nice. All right, Russ has given me the sign that we have to play a song. And I love to play music. That's part of Uswigs Radio, playing music by great bands. We're going to start off the show with a song by the band Bound Stems out of Chicago from their new album, The Family Afloat. And this is Happens to Us All Otherwise on Flame Shovel Records.
All my life and all my years, we take it till it hurts, then wait until it heals. We watch the night dry up and take a lonely ride. Oh, and I'm going into work if you're right. Oh, take my place, a stand-up kid. I was thinking all about it, cause I knew where he'd been. Shifted in his chair with the sheer delight. It took me weeks for these words, weeks you admit I was right.
And there's a lot to everything. Oh, till it goes, oh, till it goes.
Till you fall, and listen till it fade away. Fumble at the door, oh, while the telephone rings, the telephone rings. And how's it been a week yet? Fine, linger in the rivalry. And I'll be still as all otherwise. I turn while we run, then act like you mean it. She says we've got one foot out the door. She says we've got one foot out the door. She says we've got one foot out the door. And all my life, all
And we're back, people. Like I said before, that's your new favorite band, the Bound Stems out of Chicago. You can check them out at myspace.com/boundstems, and you'll be rocking out to them. Like I said earlier, we have Nicole Brewer sitting with us. And Nicole, you are always out and about in Philly, getting the latest and greatest on all entertainment and other fun stuff. What's the oddest story you had to cover? Like one where, not where you were creeped out, but you're just like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. I mean, besides what you're doing right now.
I would have to say, early on, I did a piece on Star Wars being at the Franklin Institute.
Nice.
I thought I'd make the Star Wars reference first. I know that's really important around here.
She beat you. Beat you to the punch, yeah.
And, yeah, that was a really great piece because I actually got to follow around some stormtroopers and Boba Fett around the city of Philadelphia. You know, we made some stops, the SEPTA bus station.
The Boba Fett, or was it like Boba Fett's helper?
No.
The Boba Fett.
I don't mess around, Todd. Yeah, I don't know who you take me for, but...
maybe ABC News would have the fake Boba
serious,
Fett.
Okay? Yes. This is serious, okay? This is CBS3.com. We're brewing material. No, but that was a pretty crazy story, just because it's basically me and my little camcorder following them around.
What did they do around town?
Ah, well, you know, we stopped at the bus station, went to the art museum steps.
And when they eat, when you, like, stop for
basic
some eat,
things,
they have to take all their stupid outfits to cram a pretzel in their mouth. And
well, that was the really funny part. They took their job so very seriously, and right, they should.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
You know, no problem with that, but we
not
stopped.
Anyone could just buy an outfit and walk on the street. You have to
earn
it.
Sure, no, this is top credential stuff. And we stopped to get a cheesesteak, so clearly they had to remove the helmets. But they didn't want anybody to see them, because this would really not look good on their behalf. So they actually turned and faced the wall while they ate them.
I want a photograph.
I mean, a
row of stormtroopers facing the wall eating cheesesteaks.
It was top quality entertainment. It was a good day at work.
I wonder if the guy who got to be in the Boba Fett costume was thrilled for that assignment.
I'm
like,
sure he was.
I'm not a stormtrooper. I'm actually Boba Fett.
You know, like, no, they were great guys. Maybe. They were so excited.
But what
to
do you
do
mean with when they take their job seriously? Like, what's their job?
Well, they're Boba Fett and the stormtroopers.
Yeah, protecting the galaxy.
But what time?
But why were they doing it? Just cause?
Well, for the Franklin Institute, for that particular exhibit.
Oh, there was a Star Wars exhibit.
There was it was Star Wars, and so they hired these people.
Ross, if you really, I mean, you need a good psychotherapist if you really wanted to know what they were doing in their life.
He's a bounty hunter.
He's a bounty hunter?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Wow, I can't believe she beat you to a Star Wars reference. Excellent, excellent.
Congratulations.
I aim to please.
So how did you get into the business?
I grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Grew up watching the news.
And it's not always the case, though, that if you work for a station or for their web partner that you would actually end up in the place that you grew up. You know what I mean?
That's probably rare.
Very rare. Yeah, I think it's very rare, and because most people jump around.
Mm-hmm.
This is my second and a half year reporting, so I'm early on, but I'm lucky enough to have found a job on the home front, so that's really good.
And you started as a beauty contestant winner, own Miss Pennsylvania?
Beauty contestant. Yeah, that's right.
Kind of internet
comedian. Yeah. Todd just got you back. You called him an internet comedian, and he called you a beauty contestant.
It's a scholarship program.
Yes, Todd.
And I'm very offended by
that. What was your talent?
Singing.
Oh,
I actually did a piece from Wicked.
That's cool.
Russ doesn't.
Don't even ask me to sing, though. I'll kill you.
Is that so? Then you went to Miss America or Miss USA, Miss World? What is
Miss
the
America.
Track?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes.
And then Miss Universe after that or Miss World?
No, it stops at Miss America.
Oh, okay.
Miss Universe isn't
that's part of Miss USA.
That's part of Donald Trump's world, right?
Miss Universe seems very, like, planet centric.
It is. You're not going to get, like, you're going to do the hacky bit where it's the people from Mars.
You know what they say, Miss America is the girl next door.
Yes.
Miss USA is the girl you wish lived next door.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, you know.
That's another way of saying slutty. Wow.
I didn't say it.
I know, of course you did not.
So.
Hey, Nicole, with you know, the dawn of YouTube, and basically if any newscaster messes up, you know, on camera or something, it's like on YouTube the next day.
Right.
Does that give you, like, even more, you know, pause when you're out there doing stuff? Because... you know, just you see, like, funny things, like, you know, the reporter talking, walking through, wading through water, and just eats it, you know? Next thing you know, he's, like, splashing through a flood.
Yeah.
That's got to be so hard. I mean, your job's hard enough. But right. knowing that if you mess up...
It's very difficult, Jeff.
Well, you know, somebody else is going to...
But you're not live. Your segments are not live.
No.
So you,
but people with phone... Not her footage, but, you know, just people who are always filming with their phone cams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just getting people messing
well,
up.
Well, on CW Wake Up News, I'm live.
Right.
Where I do my What's Brewing segment to tell people, you know, what's up for the weekend. Sorry, right. Shameless plug right there.
I love it.
That's great. And but what's so low with your name, too? Like, if your last name was Lipschitz, what would the segment be called?
What's Lipschitz?
Lip-shitting. Sure, that's a
you
natural,
really left out.
That's a natural progression. No, but that is scary to answer your question, Russ. I remember there was a package on the Today Show not too long ago where a girl was actually in these massive floods, or so she said, and she didn't realize she was live, and she, I think, came out of a boat or something that floating, and it was, like, up to her
knees actually, it was what do you call it?
Well,
she was
kayak
in a canoe or a
canoe
kayak.
Or something.
People walk
and
by.
And a guy walked by.
Or is that what it is?
It was up to his, like, shin. And he looked at her
that.
Like, what are you doing? She's like, cut?
That's unfortunate.
There's just gobs and gobs of all the news reporters getting attacked by animals.
Yeah.
they're like, oh, what's that little monkey? And then he jumps on and ripping his tie off. Or the guy that gets bit by the ostrich.
I love that.
And the lizard that jumps on the guy and he falls
and
over. You can spend hours on YouTube alone just looking, watching... mess ups of newscasting,
yeah,
which
can
is
be
great.
Tragic, yeah.
Which is time well spent, if you ask me.
Absolutely. I actually had kind of a foul up during the Star Wars package, believe it or not. I think I made some mistake or made a false reference to something Star Wars, which you do not do, as you all know.
They will call you
on it. I've since learned Geekadelphia.com totally called me out on it.
Yes.
They said, I believe it was Epic Failure, CBS3.com.
Oh, those
epic
bastards.
Epic Failure.
Eric, how dare you?
What was it?
Yeah, do you remember what you like, call him Django Fett by accident?
I can't remember.
Nicole,
I don't
was
know.
It something about Wookiees living on Endor, and we all know Wookiees do not live on Endor?
It was something equally as important.
Well, you know what? We're going to take up a little internet battle now against. Let's wage war on Geekadelphia for doing that.
Oh, they will kill us.
I know.
They're great guys, though. We've since made up. It's
one of my favorite sites.
Yeah, they are great.
Yeah, so. We going to let's go to a song, and you know what? This isn't my favorite segment where we let Todd pick a song, but we're still going to go with it anyway.
Todd, it's always a battle.
It's kind of like what was that? We'll press your lock with
yeah, yeah.
three doors.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make
like,
a deal.
Yeah, that's it. One would be like a thing of ducks.
Yeah,
yeah. One would be a car, like a Chevy Chevette. One would be you know a year supply of Rice-A-Roni, and one would be Todd's song.
Well, my choice. Today is, and you know how I collect songs or bands that have the word ghost?
Sure.
It's a bizarre collection, I suppose, but it takes up no room on a shelf like some tchotchke items. And this comes to us from the band Jukebox the Ghost from their album Let Live and Let Ghosts. This is Hold It In.
Maybe There's a god, he's embarrassed, and it's no secret why. Only thing that he can do is hold it in.
Hold it in.
So I've written him a letter to be sent out to sea. I'm looking for a bottle to hold it in. Hold it in. But life is, oh my god, if I tell him, he'll tell her, and then she will know I like her. But good grief, I don't think that I can take this heartbreak any longer.
Was Hold It In by Jukebox the Ghost.
Where can we find more about Jukebox the Ghost, Todd?
I suspect jukeboxtheghost.com was not taken until they became a band, so let's just say go there.
All right, we'll say go there, or just do a search.
That was one I came across, I believe, at the record label No Vowels. Again, delicious record free downloads. Yeah,
cool. That was a great song. I really liked that. Hey, guys, I know we got... always late to the game on a lot of technology, and I just want to bring up, you know, we all got into Facebook, you know, and we're all excited about it, doing all our crazy stuff. Nicole, do you Facebook?
I do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be our new friend.
I was of the first Facebookers, by the
wow,
way.
Wow, look at you. Really? We're of the
like
last
top,
wave.
First how many? You
well,
were,
I don't know if I can
number two.
yeah, you were like one of the beta testers or something?
No, it was just our college was yeah. one of the first.
Oh,
it
cool.
was just strictly colleges.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before it got lame.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, it's lame now?
It's so lame.
It really is.
We just got into
like,
a...
On it. No, it's
we just got on it. We're like, it's great.
That's when it jumped the shark.
Nicole, we don't mean to brag, but we just got on Friendster. We're really excited about this new... But there's a new... The new Facebook design. Have you guys gotten to
yeah,
the new?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think it's that dramatically different.
Oh, I like it.
Thanks.
I like it better.
Do you like it better?
Yeah. Yeah, everything I need.
Long enough for it to really
Rush,
get
you
my
are a usability internet architect.
That's your job.
Trade. What
I know,
do you think?
But I don't get... I just don't get what is that different, because I wasn't on it long enough, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And everybody's talking about how it's so different, and it I wasn't enough of a user for it to...
Wait, what is the new change? I have not...
They changed the interface.
They changed the interface to
when?
Facebook. Just you might not have changed over. Not everybody has.
It asks you, would you like to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, then maybe I didn't change over.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's too much information on the page now. It used to be nicely compartmentalized, but they've given bigger real estate to areas I don't think that need it.
You know what I hate about Facebook now? I think they take you, when you click on somebody's name or their image, mm-hmm. it takes you to this random page, not their profile, but a different page that has like all these crazy...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. All these crazy links, and I think it's like a paid advertisement or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really?
And it really annoys
me. That's just ushering in the end of Facebook.
Yeah, right. As soon as you take on all that advertising.
So what will we do next, Nicole? What's after Facebook? How can I keep...
Yeah.
How can I find out what my friend is eating at any given moment?
I think the next generation of Facebook, as a digital journalist,
yes.
mind you, would just be... Full out stalking people. I think that's where we're headed, guys. Scary terrain.
So with Facebook, you've done your research. You're like, I know where they live. I know what they like. I know at 10:30 they're going to eat a muffin in this office. So you know what? By Facebook, right now I'm in my car with my information, and I'm just going to show up as you take your smoke break.
Facebook 3.0 is called binoculars.
Nice.
Binoculars and a good tree.
I like the way he says binoculars.
Binoculars.
What, how do you say it?
Hey, Rush, you know, we all talk a little different sometimes. Binoculars.
It's like uber correct the way
you
say it. I say
it's
binoculars. Be like, but I mean, it is by.
It's binoculars.
Yeah.
You really say binoculars?
Binoculars.
I've always said binoculars.
Nicole, to give you a rundown, Rush is from Long Island. Todd is from the Pennsylvania.
She says that
knowingly. Todd is from the Philadelphia area. Yep. I am from the great state of New Jersey, where accents don't actually exist.
Yep. This is a tri-state podcast, kind of.
Hey, Nicole, here's a question.
I never heard anyone.
Being from Philadelphia and being a newscaster, you have no accent. You just sound like a normal human being doing a very professional voice. I don't hear the normal. My wife is from Philly. Her family. Mm-hmm. I have to listen to Todd a lot and his Philly-isms.
I'm not saying, like, how are you?
Your cousins with a T at the end.
Did you have to work to correct that?
That's my question. Did you really have to do, like, My God. Fair Lady type thing where you go down and you have to sit there and learn how to not...
You made a musical reference, a Broadway musical reference, and I got it. Is
oh,
the worst
dear God. Like, no, I did not go through any sort of training. My mom is from the Midwest.
Okay, there you go.
I think that could explain it, because I did not want to have a Midwest accent.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, I didn't really want a Philadelphia accent.
Sure.
Not to,
I love the Philly
down the
accent.
Philly accent. It has a lot of character.
It does.
Mm-hmm. But no, for some reason, I just didn't take it on. My stepdad's from Mississippi, so,
Yeah, okay.
I had my full...
All right, so that is the reason why. Because I know, I love when a Philadelphia news person just doesn't care. Like Lynn Doyle. On CNA.
I do love that,
She's just
very authentic.
She fillies it up, I think, on purpose.
Well, it depends if the show is about, if they're talking about, Philly-centric things... She sounds like...
She sounds more local when the subject is local.
She's sitting on a lawn chair at Passyunk Ave, as people walk by.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yeah, you kind of have to. Because in New York, Russ, I watched New York TV growing up, so did you. You will get the occasional reporter, the kind of character guy, mm-hmm. who would bring out the New York accent and be like, hey, fresh vegetables, hey,
Well,
that.
we had News 12 Long Island.
Oh, God. They didn't even try to hide it?
They didn't even try.
Nicole, Russ just got back from a trip from Africa where he always likes to top people on their vacations. Like, hey, I went to Canada. It was great. He's like, really? I'm going to Africa. So, Russ, can you tell us a little bit about your whirlwind adventure? 2 weeks, was it, in Africa?
It was, 2.5 weeks. It was awesome.
Yeah,
was
I would great. Imagine.
Yeah, the photographs are great on Facebook, by the way. Yeah. And we're able to
Nicole
enjoy
wouldn't see
and
it,
comment.
But she's so over Facebook.
Yeah. Ew.
I got it.
You still share your photos on Facebook?
South Africa, Swaziland, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. Nice. Excellent trip.
And what was the coolest animal you saw?
Did you see a lot of animals?
I saw a ton of animals, and they were all really close.
You got mad at that question.
Yeah, well, come on. Didn't you see my pictures?
Well, I've gone on fishing trips, and you don't catch any fish.
I saw everything. I saw them really up close. Elephants, giraffes, leopard right there, hyenas, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Now, how is that different from the Great Adventure Safari that you drive through? Besides the bologna on the windshield.
I couldn't tell you about that one, but I have been on the Disney Safari.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
It's just different because...
I can't believe you asked that, Todd, but go anyway.
It's because they're not,
The monkeys aren't smoking cigarettes there, okay?
They're not in any way... The animals aren't in any way domesticated. I mean, I know that in Disney, they let them run a little bit, but they feed them.
Yeah,
sure they're in good shape. Like, in Disney, you're not going to see one animal taking down another. Now, we didn't see that, but we saw fresh kills.
Did you really?
There was all kinds of crazy stuff.
Like, does that break your heart?
We saw, leopards had killed impalas and dragged them up into trees. I mean, it's just raw.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like the leopards chasing down the impala, and you're like, God, I like impalas. You know what? I think I'm going to intercede. Did you ever have that impulse
no,
to jump
course,
out there?
No, but of course, everybody else is kind of wide-eyed and taking pictures.
Yeah.
We kept pulling aside our guides and being like, what's the craziest thing you saw? Like, asking them questions, me and Lise. And, there were some crazy stories because, years of doing it, things happen. Like, one guy told us that there was a Jeep one time and there was a leopard in a tree above them and nobody saw it. And it either slipped and fell or something happened and it landed in the cab with the driver.
Whoa!
That's a tour guide oopsie.
Yeah, and it chewed up his leg and everything. But that guy lived. Another guy he did a night drive and let people out of the car on a bridge for a smoke break. And this old leopard that could no longer catch its own prey killed him. The tour guide and dragged him down under the bridge.
Whoa!
I mean, it was all this crazy stuff. And the only time that we were ever in... Not in danger, but the only time that we were ever a little kind of squirrely was we ended up driving right into the middle of a herd of elephants, and they were all right around us, and they had babies, so they were very protective, very territorial. So they were trumpeting and kind of like making these lunging moves at the Jeep, and that was when we were in Botswana, so the Jeeps were much more wide open. It was actually a little scary.
But it's probably there in reality more tourists to Africa are hurt by other human beings.
It's not a common occurrence, but you're just curious when do those kinds of things happen and what are the stories.
Uh-huh.
Did you encounter a lot of mosquitoes? Did you have to have, your malaria shots?
We did have to take malaria pills. In fact, I'm almost done finally taking
You still have those. To take them?
Yeah, you have to take them for, I guess it's up like, it's like 2 weeks.
It's like a cycle?
You get home. Yeah, there's a cycle. You have to complete.
Is there anywhere in America that you could take advantage of being immune to that?
Like, hey, I'm on the pills anyway.
Now's the chance.
Well, right now, man, I'm rocking malaria.
Nice.
I have hepatitis A, typhoid.
Live a little, then, you know?
I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, go out, get yourself.
They give you trace amounts so that you...
Yeah.
So that's an inoculation.
Well,
right?
The typhoid and the hep A were, I think. Yeah. This is fascinating for the listeners.
No, but I would say go out there, get a little risky, like share some needles with a prostitute, and just see if these drugs are working.
That sounds...
Oh, it does.
So that was
the one thing stopping him from sharing needles with the prostitute. No, Russ,
I want to end the Africa segment with, if I or one of our listeners was thinking of going to Africa, just a couple words of advice.
One word of advice is, some people go places and even wild places and they do it all on their own, which is fine if you want to do it that way. I don't get a whole lot of pleasure out of that, all of the real confusion of connections and everything, because especially the amount of territory that we covered, there was a lot of plane rides, there was a lot of buses, all kinds of things like that. We went with a tour company, and it was really well done, really well handled. So I would say, especially in a place like Africa,
go on a tour.
Yeah, don't shy away from the tours, because we didn't have to think about anything. And especially, you're going through Johannesburg. I mean, that city is a war zone. And so places where I really would have otherwise been a little on edge, I felt very comfortable. I felt like I was with people who knew what was going on, and it made for a very enjoyable trip. And it was life-changing. It really was.
Good for you.
All righty, so let's play some more music. I'm going to play
Nicole just left. He's in your bedroom.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing.
He's like rooting through your drawers or something.
Why is Nicole wearing one of Russell's shirts?
This is cute. Is that from the other room?
Sorry, guys.
She's like, borrowed Lisa's lipstick.
Like, I'm going to just catch a nap in Russell's bedroom while they're talking about Africa.
She comes out with lipstick like all weirdly applied all over her face.
Wow, I know people get bored during our podcast, but she just laid down and took a nap.
It'd be funny, like all of a sudden the shower was running.
I need a break, sorry.
I smell so filthy podcasting.
All right,
so we're going to go to the Elvez interview when we come back from this, so we'll go straight into that. But before that, we're going to play a band called Spoonfork out of Sweden, and this is off their new disc All Is Well, which is on Gourmet Records, and this is the tune Bustin' Heads for Dr. Death.
Ah, love song.
Too fast, make it.
what you don't know about Used Wigs Radio may be endangering your family. That story and more at 11.
This is Todd Marone reporting for Used Wigs Radio at the great Johnny Brenda's in Philadelphia with the one and only, the premier Latin Elvis interpreter, Elvis. Welcome back to Philadelphia, Elvis.
Thank you back for having me, UsedWigsRadio.com.
And, you know, I would suspect that this is the only city that happens to have a restaurant of the same name.
Named after me. I have a licensing deal with the restaurant, and they use the license to use the name Elvis after me, Elvis, the Mexican Elvis.
Well, that's spectacular. As a matter of fact, my wife and I are celebrating our third anniversary, and as you know...
At the restaurant?
Well, 25 years is silver, and, you know, 50 is gold. Well, 3 years, we figured was the Elvis, you know, anniversary.
That's like platinum.
We ate at Elvis, and here we are interviewing and enjoying the show,
Did you
Elvis.
You eat the dessert that tastes exactly like me.
I'll take your word for it.
Just on an anniversary note, this Saturday is my anniversary of being Elvis for 20 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes. I am doing a show in Atlanta on that day with my friends from Atlanta, but I'm older than Elvis Presley ever was.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, you look great.
Thank you.
I mean, and he looked terrible, so.
I think a mid is out there someplace.
Now, I called you an Elvis interpreter because I think to call you an impersonator sells you short. I think you're more than it. You're bigger than that.
I love all my Elvis impersonator brothers and sisters, so I don't mind being called an impersonator, but like a translator is a good one. Our interpreter is good. Yes, that is good.
I think the paradox that is Elvis, the performer, is that, you know, typically someone who does music that is not original to them might be considered unoriginal, but I think on the contrary, your stuff is spectacularly original. It's almost like a
Elvis
musical scrapbook.
Elvis sang tons of songs that were not his, too. I mean, you look at his catalog. So good. But I think what I do is like I'm like a human jukebox. Me and the Memphis Mariachis have been mashing it up before the DJ since 88, you know, for 20 years. And so it's like listening to all your favorite songs at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And what the listeners may not know is that, you know, you certainly don't just do Elvis music. I mean, it goes from P.I.L. to classic rock to Elvis and back again.
The Rolling Stones, everything in between, yes.
Yeah. We're thrilled to have you. And this is the first time that I'm able to see you live. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, then you're in for a treat. Yes.
Speaking of your Elvis impersonator brethren, I happened to, just by accident, catch you on The Weakest Link when you were competing against other Elvis impersonators, and how were you received in the green room? I think I would assume being the most unique of the Elvis impersonators.
It was really funny because I love all my Elvis brothers, but later I heard of them later because I have other ones. Your friend goes, yeah, I don't remember any of their names. I'm sorry if you guys, but I can't remember your names. But they were saying, yeah, he really was trying to get you off the theme. And it was really funny to me. But that's the competitive spirit. Competitiveness is nice. But yeah, it was a tough day for me because it started really early in the morning and my blood sugar level was going low.
Well, you did a great job,
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the presidential campaign, Elvis for Prez. Like, what is your platform?
Well, these are my platforms right here.
The platform shoes, yeah?
She's taking a picture. We're kind of like not the Republicans, we're not Democrats. It's more like a brown party, yes.
Okay.
And everybody's coming. It's socialist in ideas. There's no real manifesto. It's kind of an open-ended, rock to you drop. Socialized medicine, U.S. out of Iraq and Iran, revving up the economy. I have an economy plan, the Mexicano plan. Mm-hmm. Unifying with our neighbors from the north and the south, Canada and Mexico, but not in a NAFTA fashion. And I want to put a better fashion sense into the White House.
That won't be tough, I don't think. And have you chosen a running mate yet?
Last time I ran, Eddie Vedder wanted to do it because we have the same initials and he wanted to save on paper. He said that to me. I'm a solo running right now. I got my two first ladies, though, the lovely Elvis, so that's a first. I'm not Mormon like Mitt Romney, but, you know, more, how you like it. Two white first ladies is a good idea to me.
Excellent. And if they were to make a movie, and I'm sure they're, inevitably, they will make a movie of your life.
I've gone on a killing spree at the end of my career.
If that's what it takes.
I guarantee I get a movie.
So who would play
Elvis?
He seems
like such a nice guy. It will be an unknown new actor that will storm the theaters. He's unknown. The future is unnamed.
Introducing.
Introducing.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you're going out on stage in just a couple minutes.
Thank you very much.
We're thrilled to be
here? Thank you, US Weeks Radio. We're shaking our hands. You can hear it now. See? Thank you. We got, he's Richard Nixon, I'm Elvis. There you go, it's a famous photograph.
CBS3.com digital journalist Nicole Brewer, and you're listening to Used Wigs Radio.
That was Integration Time from the album Gracias Land by Elvis. And before that was my interview with Mr. Elvis, again, last evening's performance at Johnny Brenda's. And let me just say this. I'm going to go as far as say, if you live in a city where you see that Elvis comes to play and you don't take the opportunity to see the show, you are a moron.
Wow,
that's the
harsh words.
That guy put on a show. It was unbelievable. And unfortunately, and I almost felt guilty and embarrassed of our city, the place was not packed.
Look, I've never seen his eyebrows move like that.
And they're huge. I mean, it's like...
They're like storm clouds.
They're rolling in. The guy put on a show that was unprecedented. I mean, he had, like I said, 5 costume changes. Just nuts. Hysterical. Funny. Like, worked the crowd. Had all these different kind of personas. It was like a 5-piece band plus 2 backup singers he calls the Elvets. And they're called the Memphis Mariachi. And anybody go to see one of their shows and doesn't like it, I'll reimburse you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a Newswigs Radio guarantee.
Yeah.
You will.
The show was incredible. It was one of the best shows I ever saw. And again, unfortunately, there were maybe there are 50 people in Johnny Brenda's. And it was, yeah. Like, we Heather said, is the crowd going to get any bigger? You think? I said, I don't even know that I'd call this a crowd. Like, we probably could have gotten into a freight elevator, all
of
us.
That's Thursday night, right?
It's Thursday night. Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
Weeknights in Philly are so tough.
But they really I don't care. I don't want to hear it. You call out of work the next day. Next time Elvez comes to your town, you see it.
Okay.
Period. Wow. That show was great.
Right. Russ,
are
you played
yelling
it.
At me?
Yeah. Stop yelling at
me. I don't know why I get so passionate at Russ about that.
Yeah, you know, just because Russ once said that, hey, I'm not sure if I like Elvez, you just attacked. Hey, Russ, you played in many, many bands, and what was the smallest crowd you played for?
What?
I'm just saying.
We played
a
show where we outnumbered the crowd.
I was going to say, like,
easily.
Like, really, the only question that's even worth asking is what was the biggest one? Because
okay.
I've played to so many small crowds.
Right, right.
I mean, I have played, I've played to empty rooms where it was just like us playing to
the bartender.
The
Yeah. Like, in a lot of instances, if there was a tug of war between band and crowd, you could have won a couple of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I say that as part of the band.
I have to say, yeah, like, over the years, that's been a handful of times, but they all stick out very...
Yeah.
Hey, Nicole, do you know that when Russ and his band play the Hoolahees or one of his many incarnations...
Madawax, Levelheads,
Todd will get up and paint while they're playing their music.
I actually heard that, and I was lucky enough to see one of those paintings. Very nice job.
Oh, yeah, Tom. Cool. Thanks.
It's
so much easier than practicing an instrument.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they have to rehearse and have a song list, and then I just run up and I paint some stuff, and then I run back down.
No, I think that's really cool, though. I didn't
know. What about, like, bands that switch instruments during the show? Like, maybe, like, Russ could start painting, and you could do whatever Russ does on stage?
I would love to see that, as a matter of fact.
you picking up an instrument?
Well, if I actually played an instrument and you painted... You know, like, that'd be a real treat.
That would be a treat for everyone.
I wonder who would be worse.
I know. Yeah, that's what I wonder.
I think that's.
Hey guys, I have one more thing on my bullet list of my prep sheet for our show.
Yes.
It's we like to always check in with Todd's new hair, a new hair update. We used to be into your beard, and no hair and bald. Let's see what do we got going on.
I like to reinvent myself, as you know. At work, they call me what's his name, Wooly Willy, the guy with the magnetic hair.
Yeah.
You know, so now I'm just, this is just long.
It's like, you're rocking the salt and pepper long.
Yeah. Just, it's volley.
Who that looks like.
Who does it look like?
Like an old woman. Kind of like a
just a shaggy.
Dyrly, shaggy old woman who's
it's
just.
Kind of like Beatus. Like a Ben Folds thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. Yeah. That was us checking in with Todd's hair. I think that's a important thing. What else? I'm looking at my list here. One last thing I wanted to touch on. Nicole brought up Star Wars, and there is a new Clone Wars, correct?
Oh, the cartoon,
yeah. What's up with that?
CGI?
I think people are not liking it.
People?
I just saw a headline.
What's the last thing that people did like that had to do with Star Wars?
I don't know.
Besides Boba Fett walking up and down the art museum stairs.
And Stormtroopers eating cheese sticks.
Except for that.
Yeah, except for... Nicole, do you still hang out with those guys? I mean, was it like a friendship made right away where they're just like, we're coming to Philly, you want to dress up as... Princess Leia, we go out and maybe lightsaber people or whatever Star Wars. No?
Sadly, no. I've not had that request. And now that you bring it up, I kind of feel sensitive about it.
Okay. Maybe you want to get back
in touch
with
those guys. I didn't make a
good
impression.
I can't believe those guys blew me off. I sent them 20 Facebook messages like, hey guys, just checking in. But there's a new cartoon called Clone Wars, or Attack of the Clone. I don't even know.
And CGI.
CGI.
Because
okay.
I think cartoon is like a cell animated.
Right, okay.
Animation, but yeah, it's a CGI movie, feature-length movie, which I guess answers the question, what happened during the Clone Wars?
Right, right.
Which has been burning on the minds and lips and shoulders.
So you two being Star Wars aficionados, you're not excited for it. You've kind of given up.
I will go see it.
You will go see it.
Yeah.
I'll go with you, but I don't have a strong...
Begrudgingly?
I know, I think it would be fun to go see it with you, but I don't think I would see it otherwise, because To me, the question, what happened during the Clone Wars, I really don't care.
You said the Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. So this isn't about clones, like an extra human, an extra one of yourself. It's about cologne. Like,
scent versus scent.
It's like Luke's wearing Drakkar Noir, and maybe Boba Fett's wearing gray flannel.
Don't you think Drakkar Noir would be for the dark side, Jeff?
Hey, do you remember...
I'm just really over George Lucas, and I don't know how much involvement he had in this, but did you see the latest Indiana Jones, speaking of?
No.
I heard it's horrible.
It's not horrible, but...
There's no reason for it?
It's like way more far-fetched than the ones were, and I don't know, like, things just wrap up so neatly and evenly over and over again, and I don't know, maybe the old ones felt like that too, but this one, somebody wrote a great review, I think it was on Philly.com, and he was like, you know...
Sean Burns.
Yeah, he was like, at no point did I ever feel like, oh my gosh, is he going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Like, even in the last one, right, the third one, when he was, like, stuck on the tank and his leather thing was stuck and it looked like he was going to get driven into the wall, like, there was real, like, grip in the seat, like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
It never felt like that. Like, everything was just so... You could just see how they were going to get out. It was quick and easy. It was really formulaic. I mean, you know, there were nice little hits to be had, and it was... You know, your standard.
Yeah.
Like, at a point in time, you were an Indiana Jones fan, though. Is that accurate?
Yeah,
were you? I was never a big fan.
I really care.
No.
Oh, so I guess that's...
A little too cowboy-y for me. You know,
like I was more of the Romancing the Stone type fan.
Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, because that was more adventure. Yeah.
I can see that.
Anytime Danny DeVito in an adventure movie, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about, we just hit on something very important, cologne. Do you remember, like, when you were in high school and, like, the first guy... thought it was a good idea to wear cologne to kind of impress the ladies. Nicole, do you remember any of your guy friends? Like, all of a sudden, one day, you're like, hey, there's Jerry, smells like crap as usual, hasn't showered. Then one day, you're like, oh, my God, what happened to, you know, Jerry?
Jerry smells great.
If a guy smells like cologne, Jerry. Is that good? Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, what was the question? I wasn't listening.
If a man...
Just kidding.
Todd, you woke Nicole from her nap again.
Get Nicole out of Russ's bedroom.
She's tiptoeing around the microphones and tables like there's broken glass.
Well, I don't want to be noisy.
So,
that's very good.
Sorry, question?
From a female's perspective, is it a good thing if you catch a whiff, even if it's
catch
slight, of a man smelling of cologne? Is that positive or
okay? Two things. It depends on the cologne.
Yep.
And the amount.
Okay.
Okay.
What are the positive colognes and the negative colognes?
Yeah.
The
give us
and the
one cologne that is acceptable.
Okay.
And will you be able to smell them and know like, oh, that's this?
I wouldn't say I'm like a men's cologne connoisseur or anything.
Well, you might want to take that off your Facebook profile.
I know my boyfriend wears Acqua di Gio or Acqua di Gio.
It's called Acqua Velva, and it's more of a more of like a aftershave, but that's cool.
No, so I really like that one, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah, but I Old Spice, I think most girls would say is unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
I actually remember my grandfather wearing it.
Yeah.
Okay, this seems really creepy, but
no.
So I like that one.
Well, so you don't want to be reminded of your father or grandfather when...
I don't mind it. I really
don't. I don't want to interject,
okay,
but
okay.
I am wearing Old Spice deodorant sport deodorant.
Oh,
and as
there
I mentioned on podcast prior, that my dad used to wear Old Spice growing up.
So it's a classic.
I have a bottle of the cologne. I don't wear it at the aftershave in my bathroom because I like to smell it. It reminds me of being a youngin in our bathroom.
I agree with that. But too much is bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering because, you know, I remember when I was an idiot and I bought Drakkar Noir.
You remember when you were an idiot?
No, I mean, when I was a younger idiot.
Okay.
And I was like, boy, am I going to get this girl with this. Like, she's going to love... But as Dimitri Martin says, it's not a coincidence that cologne and alone rhyme.
You know, I read once, and Heather and I have done this, that when you go on a vacation, you should wear a fragrance that you don't ever wear otherwise.
What?
Because the olfactory sense is the one most strongly connected to memory.
Okay.
So when you smell that scent, it will take you back to the trip or any kind of...
So you've done it, and has it worked?
Yeah, when we went to Europe.
Yes.
We smelled different through Europe. Which I feel kind of is like false advertising to the noses of the Europeans.
Oh, right, because they're like, that's not the real Todd.
Yeah, they never really met the real Todd.
Yeah.
It must be like he should smell like stewed cabbage.
But he smells like X.
That must be Bob Marone, not Todd Marone. Okay, hey, Ross, let's play a song. And it's one of my choices, right?
Okay.
Yeah. This is a band called Johnny Foreigner. These guys are a lot of fun. Johnny Farner, MySpace.com, Johnny Farner. This is their new song, Our Bipolar Friends. And I know, Todd, you love when I describe a band with it's a more obscure band. So I would say these guys sound a lot like Maximo Park meets Forward Russia.
Oh, I always wondered what that would sound like.
It's a frenetic mix of great music. So this is Our Bipolar Friends by Johnny Farner.
If you could see me now, blended in like ninja, you'd wonder why you bother. Well, someone somewhere is already bored of you, and all I can ask when I get back, if you could
back, people. That was fun. We're back. That was Johnny Farner with Our Bipolar Friends. Check them out.
We have to follow up on that. Sorry, but finish what you were going to say.
Check out MySpace.com, Johnny Farner. And what do we got to check back in with, Russ?
Well, okay, so over the break, we're talking about getting ready for shout-outs. And Nicole says, okay, so since we're talking about colognes, I have to say that I'm a big fan of Home Alone 1 and 2.
I got it.
So that in itself requires coming back to, but I love the, so then what did you say? You said cologne?
Yeah.
I love the idea of somebody like, oh, that cologne is great.
I thought that was the name of a fragrance. Yeah, and I thought, what a bizarre choice for the name of a perfume or cologne.
Because if you really think about it, you're like, I have no life. I'm not going out. I'm home alone. This better be something I enjoy smelling.
Because it's like cheese curls.
This is the wrong message, I think, for a cologne.
Like cheese curls.
Yeah, random reference. Sorry.
I like it. All right. This is the part of the show where we like to go. Do you want to do you have any YouTube?
Yeah.
We like to do two things, shout outs and YouTube find. So, Todd,
give her 100%.
What have you found on YouTube lately that you've enjoyed?
Well, you know, I'm not a real physical guy. I've been maybe in 75% of a fight in my entire life. But right.
I saw that on YouTube.
Well, that's I'm drawn to
it,
these
it was
things.
Called Man Blocks Fist with Face. Yes.
It was a short one. Yeah, it's a short clip. But a favorite, a current favorite of mine is one called Pimp vs. Karate.
Okay.
Oh, Pimp versus Karate. And you may have seen it, but and I love it for two reasons. First of all, it's a hysterical clip of two people who are certainly not very equally matched in a fight. And I also just love the name Pimp versus Karate because it's not like a pimp as a noun, because it's not Pimp versus Karate expert or Karate man.
Right.
It's Pimp versus Karate as if like pimp were a fighting style. You know, like it's a martial art. Like,
a lot of slapping.
Like,
and
what happens when pimp meets karate, you know? And the results are hysterical and compelling.
Pimp probably is a style.
It's a fighting style. It's just like a lot of backhanding.
It's more like about puffing your chest up, and don't they have sticks?
it's an attitude, you know.
It's all about attitude. Yeah. So, but have you seen Pimp vs. Karate? Are you familiar?
No.
Pimp vs. Karate.
No,
you have to check it out.
Yes, I would have to say no. I'm not familiar. I'm against all things pimp. I am.
Well, then you'll love this clip because basically what happens is, and I'm not going to give it away. But
when you've been under
a pimp,
if you've been under who had to work for a pimp,
a pimp was roughing up one of his prostitutes.
Oh, sounds funny, Todd.
In front of a karate dojo,
right?
And the karate guy came out to tell him to hey, ease up on that lady,
right?
And then of course
how about just stop, not ease up?
I don't know what I mean.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, Todd. I think it'd be more like stop. Not can you hit her in a non-fatal area?
Well, he didn't like being told by this guy, and he didn't know, unbeknownst to him, was this a karate guy. So anyway, and then the altercation results.
Russ, can you top pimp fighting?
No, I mean I've been away. So
okay, you
I
have no YouTube.
They don't have YouTube in Africa.
Jeff,
I'm gonna, you know, as I was talking about being a lame dad before, I'm gonna give a shout out just to the new Sesame Street clips on YouTube. They're fun for kids. My daughter loves them. It's Sesame Street. We all love Sesame
Street.
With
indie musicians?
Yeah. I mean, indie musicians, you know, like Feist and stuff, but just they're really hitting on just actors. Like Doogie Howser does a great bit. He sings a song about shoes. It's very simple. It's very cute, but it's also enjoyable for a parent. You know what I mean?
This is nothing new, though, because when we were young, like Stevie Wonder, I think I remember being on Sesame Street. And yeah.
Do you know that Maria from Sesame Street has been on the show for like 34 years? She's been on since day one.
She's still on?
Still on. Still looks great. And picture that. Like, that's your... How great a life is that for 34 years? You're just...
I don't know that that's
a solid
such a great
career.
Life.
I don't
what?
Know.
A solid career.
Well, you hate kids, so why... I understand, Russ. And you hate joy.
That's incorrect.
Look. Well, my spreadsheet says that. I enjoy things as Russ is a real spreadsheet guy. Look at column C4. That tells
incorrect.
You that. Kids are. Kids, in my opinion, are adequate. That's great.
Kids are adequate.
Jeff. All right, so YouTube, fine. Go to YouTube. They have Sesame Street on its own homepage. They have, like, Chris Brown, the R&B singer, does a really cute one. They have, you know, just a lot of nice stuff you can watch.
So what would you punch in? Sesame Street
Go to YouTube and just punch in Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
And they'll give you all the latest and greatest. So why don't we go right to shout-outs? All right, kids, it's our favorite part of the show, and it's probably your favorite part of the show. Shoutouts, where we tell you, in keeping with the ethos of Use Wigs, how to waste your time quality ways. We're going to give you shoutouts to some great stuff. Todd, you can always go first in my book.
Well, I've been very interested recently in reading up on learning about polyphasic sleep.
Well, who hasn't?
And I'll tell you what this is. There are a bunch of people out there who, and it has worked perfectly for them, except for the fact that the world is not also on the same schedule. And it's just this. You may or may not know that the REM part of our sleep is what really makes us recharged and relaxed.
Of course.
Rapid eye movement, that's the dreaming, right? So the wasted time, though, through the evening or through the night when you're slumbering comes in the phases before and after, or preceding, for the most part, REM sessions. Oh. So when you're laying there sleeping and not dreaming, you're not really getting rest. So fast forward to, if you can get yourself to immediately get right into REM sleep.
Like Nicole is now? As you just put her to sleep again? Stop putting Nicole to sleep! Stop putting Nicole to sleep!
Well, you condition yourself to take, instead of sleeping 8 hours at night,
yes.
Every 4 hours you take a half hour nap, and then you're up the rest of the time.
This seems laborious.
Well, it results in you only being asleep 2 or 2.5 hours per day.
That sounds like a load of crap.
So at the end, yeah, I'm thinking about giving it a shot.
I would love for you to do it.
So I would sleep I'd have to sleep 7, 11, and 3.
Do you have a colleague, Nicole, who does really boring news? Because this would be perfect for that.
You don't think that's intriguing?
Well, to an audience of one.
What if I said this, Jeff? You know how you always say there's more, you wish that there are more hours in the day? What if I gave you an extra 35 to 40 hours per week?
I would
this
be...
It's like a polyphasic infomercial.
What do you...
We all need more time. Remember this.
We all need to get 8 more hours.
What would that be worth to you? $89.99? $109.99? No. $19.99.
Am I going to get a set of knives with this polyphasic sleep? Because you got me interested.
As a web guy, now yes. I know you spend a lot of time maintaining used wigs.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So you could do it all night long while the rest of the world sleeps. You get that done, and you spend more quality time. You know, you talked about spending time with the family.
No, I don't like
or
to do
you
that.
Didn't.
I'm an ultra marathoner. I don't spend
or
time
the
with
dog.
My
dog. Yeah,
I think you should just do it and come back to us and tell
us. Yeah,
that.
Well, okay. Isn't that intriguing? That, like,
it
there's
is.
There's another option for sleeping?
I don't think that's going to work for you, but give it a shot.
Give it a shot, Todd.
Come back and report back.
Yes.
There are a lot of naysayers in this room, I think, for polyphasic sleep.
Who's coming up with that? Who's deciding that that's going to work?
What's the source?
Well, no, there are people that did it. And basically...
People.
They're complete
people.
Who are these people? You know what? She's a hard-hitting journalist.
She
because she heard me just say people. You're like, she dug a little deeper there.
You get a little taste of your own medicine.
Yeah, Todd. You're not sitting here with two... Now we have a reporter who actually asks good questions.
They would never have asked that.
Okay, Todd. Sounds good.
It's people.
We'll check up on you, Todd.
A guy my dad works with.
All right.
Well, you know what? Other people listening, do a search on the web for polyphasic sleep and read up. I think it's pretty compelling. And I'm going to try it now.
All right. We're not going to dissuade you.
I just have to nap in the middle of podcasting.
There you go. Move over, Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Let me give a shout out. And, of course, this is a shout out we all enjoy. One of our favorite people in the world, comedian Mike Birbiglia, who we've interviewed, Todd, with your giant tape recorder.
Yep.
He might be the funniest guy out there now.
Yeah, he was
fantastic.
Very hospitable, too, during the interview.
He's coming to the University of Pennsylvania, the Zellenbach Theater, on October 10th to give a performance. Beautiful theater. So I implore you all to go to his website, mikebirbiglia.com, and click on that. And if you're in the Philly area, get tickets. Nicole, hysterical, this guy. You
really?
Would love him. Yes, Mike Birbiglia. Very low-key. Like, picture, like... The exact opposite of a Dane Cook in-your-face comedian. He's just like...
Very dry.
Sleepy, dry, mm-hmm. But even when he fakes like a lot of energy, it's really... he's got a good shtick, and we love him. So check out Mike Birbiglia.
Have you seen him live yet? Will this be the first time?
This will be the first time.
No.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Me too.
Yeah. And Todd has. Nicole.
All right, my turn, right, with the shout-out?
Shout-outs, yes.
Okay, well, in the spirit of internet comedians...
There you go.
I would like to give a shout-out to RhettandLink.com.
Ooh, Rhett and Link.
That's R-H-E-T-T and Link, L-I-N-K.com. And these are just really great guys. They actually travel the country... And on an Alka-Seltzer, get this, an Alka-Seltzer world tour.
Oh, nice.
And they go around to different spots. They make these hilarious internet videos. They sing. They're musicians. They incorporate a lot of funny stuff. They have the buffet song, the Facebook song, just a lot of really, really good stuff. Check it out.
They've won me over already because they went right to the page. And first of all, the title of the page is Rhett and Link Video Audio Hilario. and there's a photograph of... of a reclining
Lionel Richie.
They love Lionel Richie.
Yeah, that's great.
It's incredible.
Looks like a Flight of the Conchords kind of thing.
I'm digging it. Yeah, so this will be a time waster on Newsweek's courtesy.
This is a good quality time waster.
Where are these kids from? Who knows?
I don't know.
Just somewhere interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that, Nicole. And sadly, I know this is people's least favorite part of the show. It's the time where we say goodbye.
Oh, you're not going to give me a shout, huh?
Oh, I thought you were...
Does that work?
No, I just thought you were like, I'm all Africa guy. I don't have time for you guys. I'm thinking about the planes.
There's
and
a website
the
out there called worldoflongmire.com.
World of Longmire.
L-O-N-G-M-I-R-E.
Yep.
And it's a guy named Mark Longmire. He's kind of like a Chris Harding kind of character. Yep. He's a graphic artist in Tennessee, but has all kinds of like little quirky bits of humor on there. What, you're not able to get to the website?
Yeah,
you spelled it too quickly.
World of Longmire. I spelled Longmire. L-O-N-G-M-I-R-E.
Okay, well, you guys can figure that out.
But he's got some funny things on there. There's actually one thing where he went and scanned in covers of a bunch of romance novels and then changed all the text on them to kind of match what the picture says.
Nice.
There's some really funny stuff on there. We'll give you the link directly to the romance novels, but it's worth clicking around on World of Longmire just in general.
Awesome. He looks like your friend Phil, Jandek Phil.
He does kind of look like Jandek
Phil.
There
you go. All right, people. Like I said, this is the saddest part of the show. It's the time when we say goodbye, we group hug, and we just kind of think about all the great minutes we spent together and look forward to the next minutes we spend together. I would like to thank our very special guest, Nicole Brewer, who you can check out at cbs3.com/brewer, or just go to the cbs3.com homepage, and you'll see Nicole's smiling face and a link to all of her great stuff. Nicole, I know this was hard for you to sit through this, and I know you would rather spend much more time downing cheesesteaks with Wookiees than sit through this. But
she earned her paycheck today.
You got a couple naps in. You got a couple naps in during the day.
I had a few moments of polyphasic sleep.
There you go.
And ready to move on with my day.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Russ, is that it? We done?
That'll do.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.